Joining us in studio right now, she's not a psychic, she's not a medium, but she does give really great advice for folks who are looking for advice. That's what we call this segment, In Session with Maria DeRubis. Maria DeRubis joining us. Maria, good morning.
Good morning, Dan. I just sent in my word.
Are you a Teresa Caputo fan?
I would love to go see her.
She's cool.
Yeah.
You know who I did see many years ago? She's passed away since, but Sylvia Brown. Remember Sylvia
Brown?
Oh,
yes, I do.
She had all
yes.
the rings, and she was very tan and the raspy voice, and
yes.
she called you hun. She got,
yes.
well, listen, hun, here's what you got to do, hun. I went to see her at the Coliseum in Caesars,
oh,
Windsor.
Cool.
And they did a really cool thing. I was so hoping. Well, I put my mom's name in because my mom loves Sylvia Brown. She reads all the books. So as you walked in, you could put, you could fill out a ballot with a name and your seat number. And she did a draw during the
Ooh.
Show. And you came up on stage and she'd do a psychic reading for
nice.
You. Or I think you were allowed to ask a couple of questions like, can you get in touch with my deceased father or whatever it may be? And my mom didn't get picked. But a few people did. And it was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I always think things like that, I'm more of the... I think it's really neat. I think it's cool. I'm curious about it. I'm not sure if I'm a believer or a skeptic, but I think it's really neat. I love going to shows like that. And if it brings somebody comfort, I think it's not a bad thing.
No, it isn't. Have you had any readings, like a medium?
I did.
Okay, because I have too, and it was really interesting.
Did it come true?
It was really just, it was about talking to some of my deceased loved ones, and some messages came through, and it was really helpful and healing for me.
Really?
Yes.
I love hearing that. Yeah.
Yes.
It is funny. One little, I don't want to spend the whole time talking about psychics, but I sat down, this is many years ago, probably 20, maybe even longer, 25, 26 years ago, and I was at an old karaoke bar downtown,
mm-hmm.
and a woman who is the karaoke host happened to sit at my table. I didn't know who she was. And she said, hey, she goes, are you a teacher by chance? I said, I'm not. I didn't know she was claiming to be psychic. I said, no, I'm not. And she goes, what do you take in school? You take something to be a teacher. I'm like, yeah, I take English. I'm an English literature major. This is before I was even in college for journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, you're going to be a teacher one day. And I said, no. I said, that's the big thing. Everyone says that to me because I'm in English. I'm going to be a teacher. I have no desire to be a teacher.
And okay.
And she goes, well, I'm a psychic. And she goes, I see you in a couple of years. She goes, it's not grade school or high school. I see you in a room full of people teaching a course. And I literally said, that's not going to happen. It won't happen. It's not. And then she said a few things to me. She said, do you work in food management in a kitchen? I said, no, I did back in the early 1990s at McDonald's. And that's not for me. I will never do that again. She goes, well, I see you working in a kitchen with food, too. And I said, well, that's not going to happen either. And she goes, and your sister, you have a younger sister. And for some reason, I see her working with a lot of medicines and medication, but she's not a nurse. And I said, well, she does work in a pharmacy and she mm-hmm. fills prescriptions. So, yeah, there is some of that. Anyway, I'm not kidding you. 1 year later,
mm-hmm.
I worked at the video store at the time. The video store closed, and I got a job serving food at Margaritas.
Oh, wow.
And a few years down the line, I became an instructor at the Mediaplex teaching journalism to students.
Oh, there you go.
And I thought it was so absurd. I'm like, I am not a teacher. I will never be a teacher. I have no desire to be a teacher, and I am never working with food again. That fast food was my last time with that. And both came true, so I thought, huh.
Oh, that's interesting.
Those were two things that came true, whether I believe it or not, whether it was a coincidence, but they were so spot on. And it wasn't elementary school, it wasn't high school, it was a smaller room of adult students
mm-hmm.
who were over 18, and I was teaching them a very specific trade, and it was bang on with what she said.
Wow.
So
interesting.
It made me wonder a little bit. I'm like, there is something to what she said. And
I believe all that.
I didn't know her from Adam. Like, I didn't know who she was. She had never met me before. She didn't even know my name, and I certainly never knew her. It wasn't a planned thing. So yeah, something to be said, definitely. Quite cool. You
cool.
are a believer, though?
I am.
Are you? Yeah.
Yes.
No, I think it's really cool. I think it's neat. And who knows? What do I know? I'm more of a skeptic. I'm not a non-believer. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just whether it's coincidence or not. I mean, sometimes these things do transpire. And
yep.
it's like, wow.
It's
that's
true.
So cool.
Very true. Somebody here said, and I'm not sure if you're able to speak to this or not. Maria has her own show, too, here on AM 800, 8 to 9 Sunday mornings, Real Talk with
mm-hmm.
Maria. Someone did ask you, this might be a more of a legal question maybe, but I'll see. If your landlord breaks every law to get people to feel stupid and move, are people who feel angry about such circumstances expected to undergo intervention for poor mental health? Now, I feel like there's a lot more going on.
I don't even know if I understand the question.
I don't fully understand either. Texter, if you could call in, please call in. I'm going to text you our number right now. Call in. What it sounds like, what this person is saying, if your landlord breaks every law, that
okay.
sounds like a legal issue, to get people to feel stupid and move. So it sounds like the landlord is doing things to get them out.
Okay.
That's how I'm interpreting it. Are people who feel angry about such circumstances expected to undergo intervention for poor mental health. So it sounds like their landlord is driving them to the brink of insanity is what I'm reading from this. But expected to go to medical intervention. I don't know where that fits in. So, Texter, I think you should call in because something is lost in translation here, I think.
I think if they're stirring up emotions in the person in terms of, you know, like, am I going insane or crazy because of what the landlord is doing, I think they need to go consult with a legal expert you know, call the Landlord and Tenant Act and see what their rights are under that.
Yeah. And if it's making them, if it's maybe, and again, this is all our own interpretation of it, if it's making them feel like they are getting angry and doing something ridiculous or stupid, maybe talk to someone for some anger management. But talk, if they're breaking the law, they said if their landlord's breaking every law, I would talk to a legal expert
on definitely
that.
I
and,
would.
Yeah, if they're
you
breaking the
rights,
law, they're
yes.
breaking the law. You have rights. So, yeah. But, Texter, I'm not sure we fully understand what you were trying to convey, so maybe if you could call in. The lines are open for you, and lines are open for anybody. If you have a mental health question, a dilemma that you'd like to get some reflection on, a lot of great advice from Maria. Give us a ring, 519-792-2559. We're getting a caller in. I do have to take a really quick break. We'll come back with Deborah and Maria DeRubis right here on AM 800. Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. We're in session with Maria DeRubis today. And we did have a text, and I think some of it got lost in translation. That happens a lot. I always say it's much better to call in, and I'm glad she did. Deborah, Deborah is on the line. Deborah, you called it. You were the one who made the text. Now, I'll reread the text here. We didn't quite understand maybe what you were asking, but you had just said, ask Maria if your landlord breaks every law to get people to feel stupid and move. Are people who feel angry about such circumstances expected to undergo intervention for poor mental health? So we answered as best we could, but I'm glad you called in, Deborah.
Yes.
Yeah. What is happening?
Yes, thanks, Deborah. If you could clarify your question.
Hi, Maria. All I was asking is, it seems proper mental health if something happens to you like that, to have an angry response or whatever. And I'm just having a problem with what defines poor mental health.
Well, poor mental health is often when you're not able to cope with what's happening in life around you. And so if you're struggling with, let's say, I don't know, is it depression that you're struggling with, Deborah, or is this a situation that you were in with the landlord?
Yeah, if you're homeless and on a street, you're going to be depressed or angry, which is the same thing.
Oh, yes, definitely. And so are you looking for resources for mental health?
I'm not. I'm just looking to stir up a little bit of conversation.
Oh, okay. Do you have another specific question that you'd like to ask?
Well, was there something that happened with your landlord, Deborah, that gave you cause to be concerned?
Well, I lived in a place for 12 years, and all of a sudden somebody else bought the building, and the rent is quadrupled, and they're not doing anything to fix my apartment. In fact, they want it to deteriorate so that they can come in finally. It's all. Yes, it happened with my landlord, but it's just not my landlord, and it's not a landlord's job. People are expected to work. If they don't work 60 hours a week, they're lucky to get 20, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, just a systemic issue in society, people being kind of at their breaking point a lot.
Right.
Is that what you mean, Deborah, that says so many people are at their breaking point these days?
Exactly, Dan.
Mm, yes.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call today, Deborah. And that's kind of what we're going back to with the announcement, keeping our streets safe earlier today, how mental health is such a key part. Housing is part of it, but supports in place are almost more important, if not equally important, to housing.
And we do need so many more supports. We don't have enough out there, and the waiting lists are just so long that people are not able to get in soon enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just gets worse, right?
Yeah. She asked an interesting question too. How do you define poor mental health? And I think that's a tough question to ask, especially for a lot of people who might have poor mental health and not even realize they have poor mental health. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That might be a tricky thing.
That is.
To decide, like, indicators of when you can't function normally day to day the way you could, that's an indication you have poor mental health.
Definitely.
But everyone has different sets of what they consider normal, right? Normal is a weird
exactly.
word because normal is relative.
Yeah, what is normal? And we also have people that are very functional that, you know, struggle with depression or anxiety. However, you know, do they need intervention if they've learned how to manage? Again, it's that individual decision.
Yeah, agree. This person says here, This is a doozy. My nephew basically coasted through high school, then failed to do anything. No job, no interest in education, no interest in anything except video games. He hasn't even gotten his driver's license yet. He's 22 years old. My sister has babied him his entire life. My brother-in-law is at the end of his rope, demanding something be done. My sister thinks that sending him my way for a change of scenery will inspire him. She says it's only fair that I help my nephew as I did my nieces. So apparently they did something with the nieces. Mm-hmm. My sympathy has limits. My nephew refuses to see a doctor, so any root cause like depression is not being addressed. My sister has offered to pay me until her son gets settled, but I am not willing to live with a lump lounging in my living room playing video games night and day. How do I have this discussion with my sister? So basically she's saying, I don't want your son. I don't want my nephew here.
Well, and definitely she has a right to say that unless, you know, they can sit down and, you know, come up with some very specific expectations if he is going to go there. And if he's 22, he's not working, he's not going to school, turn off the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Right. It's very simple. Turn off the internet. Yes, he's probably going to get angry, and that's why they're probably appeasing him. And sit down as a family and talk about what expectations they have. They can't force them to go to the doctor, unfortunately, but they could say, you know, either you go back to school or you get a job. Mm-hmm. But the internet is off limits because you're not contributing.
My house, my rules.
Exactly.
And if they want to change the scenery, maybe the problem is at home, that's all he's doing is sit in front of the computer. So okay, you're going to go live with your aunt, and at your aunt things are going to be a bit different because it's her rules.
Mm-hmm. Does he come up for meals? I know some parents have actually brought meals down to their children while they're gaming.
Wow.
And I'm like, what are you doing?
Now, I do know somebody, I'm not going to name names, it may have been someone who used to or still works here, but they had an issue with their kid gaming a lot, and she did intervene. She said, okay, whatever, you do you. But she was, her big thing was, when dinner is ready, when I prepare dinner, I want everyone at the table to have dinner.
Yes.
Together. And dinner was, she called them down and nobody was coming. Everyone was continuing playing games. And she went up and said, hey, shut the thing off, hit pause and come to dinner. And he said, no, I got to finish this round. So she went. And of course, the darn thing didn't have an off button. She literally went downstairs and killed the power to the house. Like she hit the breaker and it blacked
great.
Out. And she's like,
yeah.
There you go. She's off now. So come to dinner.
And I would. And I mean, even like with technology these days, like my internet app, I can turn off any device I want right from my phone. So I don't even need to have a conversation with you about getting off the game.
Yeah, just right? Done.
Just
it's off.
You're done.
Yeah, your house, your rules.
Exactly.
It's funny. We talked about this yesterday. I got another dilemma here I want to read, but we talked about this yesterday. A parent had called in or texted into the show with their parenting expert, and they said they have a 2-car house, and they have a son who I think was about 22 or 23. He lives with them. They said that was fine, and they allowed him to use one car like his own. Mm-hmm. They said it's their car, but they said, you know, as long as you put gas in it, take it to work, take it out, use it as yours. And then it was the dad who called in, and he said, you know, he got home one night, and my son was drunk. And I said, you drove drunk. Mm. And the son said, no, I didn't. The dad said, I'm not stupid. I know when someone has been drinking, you've been drinking, and you're never using our car. You can find your own way, or we will drive you, but you're not to use our car. And the son, if this has been a week now, the son kind of hates them, hates mom and dad, because they took away the freedom of using the car. But dad says, hey, this is my car, my rules. I think it's not too much to say, don't drink and drive.
That's right.
You did. Yeah, is it my word against yours? But I'm not an idiot. I know when someone's drunk, so no. And the dad was saying, was that an overstep? Because the son still hates them a week later. I didn't think it was.
They're doing their job.
Yeah.
And, you know, if your children hate you, that means you're doing something right. That's how I see it, because you are not your child's best friend.
Right.
You are not their friend. You are their parent. And we have to keep those boundaries very clear.
And that's a consequence of actions. I mean, drinking and driving, there could have been a lot worse consequences.
Oh, definitely. Could have killed someone or himself.
Yeah.
Or
ended up in jail, ended up in a paralyzed rest.
Exactly.
Who knows, right?
Yes.
With a record on a criminal record of drinking and driving, which is going to hurt you in so many more ways. So I think I thought it was the most just punishment you could find.
I believe so.
You've abused the privileges. So you want to get a car, straighten your life out and get your own car. And we'll talk then. And then you can't argue.
That's right.
But I thought that was an interesting one. This one here says, my partner suffers from depression, and it is starting to affect our relationship, and I want to be there for them and help them out, but I also need to take care of myself. How do I find that balance? That's a tricky one when there is somebody struggling with mental health in your family, finding the balance of caring for them and caring for yourself.
And what I tell people is always make sure that your cup is full in order that you're able to help your loved one. And I don't know what your partner is doing, if they're, you know, willing to go see the doctor, go for counseling. Perhaps you can, you know, also volunteer to go with them to their sessions, if that's going to help, or get them in there. But it is really important to take care of yourself first.
Mm-hmm. Mental health, we had that City of Windsor announcement today, too, just as we kind of wind down the half hour here. And mental health seems to be an underlying factor in so many of the issues mm-hmm. that we see here. We see it. We literally see it every time we go outside. Doesn't matter what neighborhood it's in. It's across the city. We see people in the struggles of an opioid addiction or a mental health addiction, or the two are interlinked. And yesterday we talked about this too on our roundtable, having a place to go. And that's the conversation today mm-hmm. with Strength in Our Core in downtown. Having a place to go, I feel like that's one of the biggest problems too, is there's nowhere to go. You mentioned the difficulty of navigating the system, Maria.
Well, yes. I do a lot of advocating for my clients. And, you know, I've gone online to navigate 311 and it's very challenging. And my question is, you know, how are people supposed to navigate the system or find resources, one, if they don't have, you know, a place to use the internet, or they don't have a cell phone?
Right.
And they need a place to go. We really need to find a place for them to be.
And I wonder where the line is. You hear about people who are littering in areas, and not just downtown, all over the mm-hmm. place, people who are going to the bathroom in the middle of the streets. And I do wonder, where is the line? When do we put up? Should there be some porta-johns out there for people who need to use the bathrooms, who aren't customers of places? So they're not, if there's nowhere to go to the bathroom, you're going to pee up against the wall if you don't have anywhere
exactly.
to go.
Exactly.
So where is that line? I don't know.
Yeah, put out some porta-johns. Have an area where they could go and sit at a picnic table and some umbrella so that they have, you know, a place that's decent for them to sit, and have maybe frontline workers walk around and offer support.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very tricky. Hat is off to everyone who is working to make it better for everyone. And I think hopefully we will see some changes soon. I think everyone's on the same page. Mm-hmm. We know what the issues are. Now it's just a matter of tackling them. Maria, appreciate you coming on to talk about mental health every week as well.
Thank you, Dan.
I really do. And make sure you tune in to Maria, 8 to 9 a.m. every Sunday morning. It's Real Talk with Maria. Maria DeRubis joining us in studio. We are going to continue the conversation too about our downtown. Mental health is a big part of that conversation. Healthy streets, healthy spaces. We're going to speak with Councillor Ronaldo Agostino next. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800.
I asked my Mopar service expert today to check all the boxes. Oil change, check. Tire rotation, check. Brake inspection, check. Free? Cha-ching!
Purchase a peace of mind maintenance service at the All-In Spring Event and you'll receive a brake inspection and a free seasonal tire changeover. And, of course, when you buy three tires, you get the fourth free. See your Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram dealer for details. We built it. We know it.
You asked for it. You got it. One lucky winner is about to have 10,000 reasons to love their space because AM